This morning we are beginning or continuing in our classic series, and as we're walking through the Word of God and jumping, you'll see, from Old Testament to New Testament and back. But this morning I want to tell you about a classic story that probably everybody has a recollection of, and that is what's known probably as the parting of the Red Sea. How many remember that story? Moses and the Israelites and the Egyptians coming after them and the sea parts, remember that? And they go through? Amen. Well, that's what I want to tell you about today. As I tell you about it, I want us to go to the Word of God, and we're going to kind of peruse through the Scripture and capture some of the details of this story. So if you'll take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 13, and we'll begin at verse 17. Amen. There's a few people who still like the Word. I'm sorry. And then I'm going to just, I'll help you out because we're just going to kind of jump through some Scriptures here, and it's also on the screen for you. But in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, with Pharaoh, let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Verse 21. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Chapter 14, verse 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. Verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. Verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Verse 28, the water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. Verse 31, and when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. This morning, I want to talk to you about coming out of Egypt. I want to talk about how we face Red Seas in our life. But more than that, I want to talk to you this morning about Egypt coming out of you. Our Heavenly Father, for centuries, you have used your word to touch the hearts of men and women. You've used it through cultures and countries and across this world. And today we sit here as recipients of your grace and your faithfulness. And many of us have found our own Exodus in our life. And Lord, we have been free. We've been set free today. And Lord, we thank you for the blood of Christ and for freeing us from a life of bondage. And Lord, we are grateful for that. And we thank you for leading us and starting us with it. And you will take us to the end. And Lord, I ask you to continue, though, your work in us. And Lord, would you free us from the influence of the world? And help us walk the way of the cross in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, there's a lot of times I'll come to the piano and do a chorus with you. But this morning, I want to sing a song to you that may help, I believe, set up this message well. It says, Lord, I feel so empty. Seems like we're so far apart. And even though some may applaud me, you alone can see my heart. You don't look at my achievements or my ability. All you really want is all of me. And though it frightens me to give up my control, there is only room for one king in the throne room of my soul. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. You delivered me from old Pharaoh, now set me free from me. Let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be, Lord. You took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. For blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see the Lord. But the eyes that only look to earth will lose the rich reward of the fellowship eternal, the blissful unity of the ones who live in Jesus and no longer serve King me. Took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. You delivered me from old Pharaoh, now set me free from me. And let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. Oh, I love the gifts you've given me, but I love the giver more. And to worship you more perfectly is what those gifts are for. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. You delivered me from the Pharaoh, now set me free from me. And let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Thank you for taking me out of Egypt. Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Now take Egypt out of me. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, but take Egypt out of me. And for this to take place, we're going to have God at work in our lives. You know, at times God will take us on a strange turn that seems different from what we thought should have happened. In fact, I want you to look at a map with me. This is the map of the Exodus that took place when they left Egypt. If you'll notice, they left Ramses here, is where they left. The children of Israel were living in the land of Goshen. Now, when they were leaving, the Bible had already told Moses that he was taking them to the land of Canaan. In fact, that goes all the way back to Abraham. In fact, it goes back to Abraham's dad, Terah. But I want you to notice where Canaan is. Canaan is over here in the top right. This is the land that they were heading to. Now, naturally, if you're going to leave Egypt or Ramses and you're going to go to Canaan, which direction are you going to take? Let's go east. Let's take the shortest route. But if you notice, God doesn't take that route. God takes them a long ways, it seems, out of the way to accomplish what needed to be accomplished. I want you to know, and I want to just basically put it this way, welcome to God's world. God doesn't do things the way we do it. In fact, Exodus 13, 17 and 18 tells us when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not let them lead them on the road through the Philistine country. Though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. Now the Philistines lived in the northern part of the Sinai wilderness. And God knew that, but the Israelites didn't know it. They had never been out of Goshen. They were 400 years as slaves to the Egyptians. And here they are heading out into the desert with this strange 80-year-old man under the direction of a God that some of them have not seriously worshiped. But God is taking them on a journey for a reason. And though they may not understand it, they needed to know that God was watching over them. God knew what he was doing. God was making a maneuver that would protect them. It's just like God watches over us. We may not like it when he leads us in strange ways to unusual places, but we need to remember he's protecting us. Who would have ever guessed that 3 years ago you would have been where you are today? What about 5 years ago? 10 years ago? Who would have ever guessed the journey that you've been traveling would have taken you to the place where you are today? You will find that God knows exactly what he is doing. He is protecting. He is saving us from the attack of the enemy. So we find that God leads his people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. The Word of God says that God led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The cloud would guide them, and when it stopped, they would stop. When it moved, they would move. At night, there was a pillar of fire, and when it got up and moved, because he said they could move by day or night, when it got up and moved, they moved. But it's beautiful that God gave them a cloud by day because it would help shield them from the heat of the sun. At night, he would give them a pillar of fire to provide warmth for them in the chill of the desert and also to give them the first nightlight. God would warm them. He would take care of them. He led them exactly as he had planned. You see, the Israelites did not know that God had a divine appointment at Mount Sinai for them. It would be on that mountain they would receive the moral code of the law. It would be there that they would get the directives for their lives. It is there they would begin to learn how to be a unique, distinctive people for the Lord God Almighty alone. God knew what he was doing. So God doesn't take them east. He takes them south. Anybody southern in here? That's why the south is good. Oh. Now, there's probably somebody in the back of the pack, though, in that caravan as they're heading south, begin to wonder, and this is an awful big body of water to our left over here, and it's not getting any smaller. And this is kind of like wilderness country out here. Hey, leader, this could be a trap. We're going to get stuck out here, and we're going to be in danger. We can't hide from anybody. Water over here, we can't go there. We can't swim in it because we've got our children or our cattle. Hey, Moses, if we ever get attacked, we're in trouble. Well, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what happened. As we read in chapter 14 and verse 5, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind about them. So here they are, camped by the sea. They've got water on one side, wilderness all around them. Now they've got the Egyptians coming up on their backside. And now they're saying, we're going to die out here. What are we going to do? Well, they did what most of us would have done, especially people who get their lifestyle from the Egyptian way. They panicked. They've got the Egyptians coming, and they're starting to remember the whipping, the spears, the swords, and they're saying, I remember how they treated us. I remember how they used to beat us into making bricks for them. I know that bunch, and they're going to wipe us out. And the Bible says they cried out to the Lord. Now, wouldn't it have been great if they would have said, Lord, we trust you. Well, Lord, we want to wait upon you. Lord, this is an impossible situation, so we're going to lean on you. Man, God, you're the one who's great at impossibilities. We will wait and watch you work. But that's not what they did. In fact, the Bible says they began to complain. And they said, Moses, why did you bring us out here? We knew this was going to happen. We're going to die out here. And we're not going to ever let you forget it that we told you so. In fact, Exodus 14, verse 12, they said, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Now, wait a minute. I thought they wanted out of slavery. I mean, what kind of thinking are they having? It's Egyptian thinking. They forgot about the deliverance in the plagues. They forgot about the power of God already. And it's the way you begin to think when your life is horizontal. When you're focused on today's media, when you get focused on today's counsel, when you are listening only to the wisdom of the world, you get horizontal. We have to remember that our God is in heaven. He is seated on his throne, and he does whatever he pleases. And when we forget that, we panic. Now listen, I love Moses' answer here. For Moses is about 40 years ahead of them in the wilderness. He's watched God preserve his life. He's watched the Lord speak to him from the bush. He's heard the Lord's statement. He listened to the Lord's promise. He says, you're going to get to Canaan, and I'm going to give you the land. And so Moses, without any quiver in his voice, says to the people, Moses answered to the people in verse 13, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. And all of a sudden, I hear the people laughing. Yeah, sure. Yep, he's right. We're never going to see him again because we're going to be dead. That's the way we think. Now, they are in a predicament. They're about to be trapped. Horizontally, they're done in. There's no way they're going to make it unless God is God, and he's one who fulfills his promise. You know, I've been in ministry now a little over 20 years. And for 20 years, I've watched different people doubt God. Church, I trust that everyone here would believe God first. I wish you would believe him no matter what you read, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, believe God. Listen to what Moses tells him in verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Now, I've got to tell you, that's probably the hardest thing for Egyptian-trained people to do. Just be still, do nothing. Moses was telling him, God's going to deliver you. He's going to be your salvation. Now, about this time in the message, you're probably yawning through this part because you know how the story ends. But if you had been there and you didn't know how the story was going to end, you would be a little more interested in what Moses is about to say. Moses is telling them, today you're going to be delivered. Just be quiet, stand still, trust him, and do not panic. Now, the Lord does four things that are incredible. And here they are. Number one, verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Number one, God says, move on. Tell them to go forward. But what's forward? I mean, there's nothing but water here. The Lord loves for us to go in directions that seem to us impossible. And that's when it gets exciting. Because secondly, God then moves the cloud from before them to behind them. Look at verse 19. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. What an incredible plan. They've got an angel who's going to be their rear guard, is going to protect them. I want you to know, all it takes is one angel when the command of the Lord is there. And they now they've got a cloud, and it's going to act like a fog. Now, can't you see the Egyptians? They're on their horses, man. They're chariots, and they're heading that way. And all of a sudden, they hit this dense fog. And they go, wait a minute, guys. We got a fog problem here. The horses are snorting, people all around looking at each other, saying, what are we going to do now? Well, I'm not sure. We'll think about it here for a moment. And the Israelites can relax because God is in charge of the cloud. God gives them a safe distance from the Egyptians. And the third thing, he opened the sea. Look at verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided. So the wind begins to blow all night like a giant hairdryer. Blowing that. And God pulls back the waters. The winds blow, drying out the riverbed, because God is getting them ready to cross over. Do you remember when you were a kid and we watched the Ten Commandments? Charlton Heston, remember that? His hair's blowing in the wind, standing there with his arms up, and all of a sudden the wind blows and the waters peel back. I remember first time I saw it, I said, my Sunday school teacher never told it that way. Folks, it was a miracle that day. Well, why would anybody be surprised about it? I mean, it wasn't Moses, and it wasn't Pharaoh, and it wasn't his army. It was an omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God. The great I Am showed up on the scene and was taking care of his people, doing what he does best. He was there to deliver them. Why did God do it? Verse 18, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Be honest with you, some of you, like the Israelites, you really don't have the foggiest idea how powerful our God is. You've not seen it. Church, I want you to know him and the power of his resurrection. It's passages like this that teach us, instruct us, and turn us into awe-inspired, reverent worshipers of God because we see what God can do. And listen, when God does something, you don't have to explain miracles because there is no explanation. If you could explain it, then it's not a miracle. So the water pulls back, the dry ground is in front, and the people walk through the sea. Can't you picture the moms and the dads? Son, come here. Sweetheart, come here. Get him in my arms. Look at this. This is God. You know, this is Yahweh. Look at it. This is the one we worship. Remember this, children. Remember this. And don't forget it. And they go through that riverbed and up to the other side. And there's always the guys in the back. And they're starting to think, those Egyptians have figured out a way to get through that fog back there. And they're gaining on our heels here. There's always some people, folks, that you just can't convince, no matter how great the miracle. But fourthly, it's a great thing that God did. In verse 26, he destroys the enemy with the very same means with which he used to save them. Verse 26, and the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Now on the other side, I can see the moms and dads with their children once again walking along that seashore. They're looking at their children and saying, children, never forget this. Don't ever forget it. Never forget what God can do. As expected in verse 31, they had a whole new perspective of the living God. They had a whole new respect for Moses. Verse 31, and when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servants. For once, they got their theology right. For a moment, like no other time in their life, they knew the power of God. But they would forget it later. God knows what he's doing when he takes us south or when he takes us in a direction that we don't understand. Not only did he save the Israelites from the assault of the Philistines, he slew the Egyptians. And then they begin to walk towards Sinai with this enormous respect and honor for the living God. And they were learning to become worshipers of God. There are umpteen lessons we can learn here. Let me teach you four. Number one, you will learn to be a worshiper when you realize it takes tight places to break long-standing habits. You'll become a worshiper when you realize it takes tight places to get rid of lifetime habits. You see, we need to get Egypt out of us. God has taken us out of the world, but the world still has this influence in our lives. And we need God to come in, and sometimes he'll put us in tight places because he wants to deliver you. The Egyptian surroundings, the Egyptian thinking, the Egyptian attitudes, the folks that we work alongside, we read Egyptian literature, we read their business reports, we learn their ways, we think their thoughts, and it's totally humanistic and it's worldly. Well, you say, but it's so powerful. I mean, after all, ABC says it, or CNN, or Fox is telling us about it. Folks, I want you to know that these long-standing habits in our life, God wants to break them because he has removed us from the world and he wants to make us into his kingdom and bring us into his light. When you get in a tight place, I want you to know God is wanting to get your attention to deliver you. Secondly, we'll become worshipers when we're hemmed in on all sides. Why? Because it forces us to look up. God doesn't torture us and chuckle and sit back in the background and just see how long it'll take for us to give up. He doesn't work that way. But he alone can deliver us. And all we need to do when we get hemmed in is look up and call upon his name. And third, we'll be worshipers when we realize that if he's going to get the glory, then he must fight the battle. You may come to a place in your life you can no longer defend yourself. You no longer are able to deliver yourself. And when you are there, you need to know the Lord will fight that battle for you. And fourth, you'll be a worshiper when you realize the Red Sea opens and closes at the Lord's command, and not until. It's interesting that as soon as they saw the Egyptians coming, God didn't go and open up the Red Sea. Let's get on through here, guys. It's not the way it happened. He let the Egyptians get closer and closer and closer, and then he had the fog drop in and stop them. Don't forget, it's God who calls the shots. It's him who gets the glory because he's the one who deserves the glory. So, Lord, you took me out of Egypt, but now take Egypt out of me. Everyone needs a deliverer. And Jesus Christ is our deliverer. But we have to leave our Egypt. And we have to begin a journey, a walk to the promised land. I want you to know, Jesus said, if I go away, I will prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again. Folks, I want you to know, there is a promised place, an eternity that is awaiting us. And I don't want to forget it. But as I walk this journey, as I walk this path, though I have left the world, I do not want the world to influence me today. I want his word to influence me today. I got to know that he will be faithful to his promise. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9, Peter writes to us, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. There's a lot of things here in this story that we can teach our little ones, and I hope you will. In fact, today they're hearing this same story. But even more importantly, there's some things that we need to learn before we teach them. As I began that song and the chorus that says, Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Now take Egypt out of me. I don't know what things plague you or what comes into your life. That second stanza, though, that says, you delivered me from Pharaoh. Now set me free from me. Because there's so many times that we try to control our lives. It's not the Pharaoh and it's not us. It is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who wants to watch over you. It goes on to say, let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Folks, we were all there. Lord, the Lord has delivered us. We've begun the journey. And I know you're going to face what will seem impossible situations. But this day, I want to remind you, children of the Lord, do not forget it. He's the one who parted the Red Sea. Don't forget it. As you cross through the circumstances of life and you praise the Lord, you've given him thanks. Don't forget it. It's so easy for us to walk out of here and by Wednesday, the events of life come upon us so heavy and we forget the power of the Lord. Don't forget it, children. Don't forget it. Tell your children, tell your grandchildren, the Lord is good. He is merciful. He is a deliverer. He is powerful. And I worship him. Folks, it's so easy, especially in these days. With everything that's going on, with all the circumstances, the economy, folks, I'm telling you, if you listen to the world and you walk horizontal, you're going to miss the vertical deliverance of the Lord. Don't listen to everything else around you. I want you to know, no matter really what happens in November, the Lord is going to put in authority who He wants to be there. You know what the Bible tells the church to do? To pray for them. But no, we do the Egyptian thing. It's not the one I wanted. It's not who I thought should have been there. I don't like it. In fact, we're going to die because of our Egyptian thinking. Oh God, take Egypt out of me. I don't want to think that way. I want to live vertically with the Lord, who is my deliverer. He is my help. He is my stronghold. He is my shield. And under His wings I will find shelter. He is my provider. He is my healer. He is my strength. He is my hope. He is my life. He is my joy. He is my peace. He is my everything. Folks, when you begin to worship and you don't forget, you know why this story is recorded? So you wouldn't forget. So many times we're like the Israelites. Church, I'm telling you, God is who He said He is. And He will do what He has said He will do. Just let Him be God. Let Him be Lord over your life. Would you bow your heads? In this room today, in the balcony, the main floor, I want you to know He's your deliverer today. First, I want those who maybe have never made a decision to serve the Lord. But today, He wants to deliver you and set you free from the world. He wants to give you freedom and life today in the name of Jesus. If you want to make that decision today, I want to pray for you. So would you just lift your hand across this congregation, balcony, main floor, just begin to lift your hand. Say, I need a Savior. I need a deliverer today. Just go ahead. Amen. I see that hand. Yes, sir, I see that. Is there anyone else today? I want Jesus to save me. Amen. Yes, ma'am. I see that. Also in this room, if you're going through a tough time and the seas are before you, the waters, and you just can't see them parting, and you see the enemy advancing, and you say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm telling you, the Lord has hemmed you in, so you'll look up. And today, I'm asking you in this place, if you have a need in your life, I'm asking you, look up, call upon the name of the Lord. If you're one of those to stay and you need that kind of prayer in your life, would you just begin to lift your hands to the Lord? Just say, Lord, here I am. Just like Moses lifted his hands, Lord, I lift my hands over that situation. Just begin to praise Him. Just begin to thank Him. He's going to be there. He's going to be your strength. He's going to be your help. Hallelujah. Father, first, I come before You today. Lord, thank You for grace. Lord, that we could approach Your throne today. And Lord, we come before You in humility. And Lord, as sinners, saved by grace alone, we come to You. And Lord, these that lifted their hands and they said, Lord, I need a Savior. I need a Redeemer. God, I pray that as they put their faith in You, in the name of Jesus, that You died on a cross and You rose again. Lord, You saved them. Now, in the name of Jesus, redeem their souls, I pray. Thank You, Lord, for You're faithful to Your word. And Lord, for us as a body of believers, Lord, the hands that were lifted across this building, God, only You can deliver. And Lord, this morning, I don't want the circumstances of our world to dictate our lives. But Lord, help us to transcend the way we used to think. And Lord, to put us on a plane that begins to think how You think. That Lord, You will deliver. Lord, from addictions today, I pray You begin to set people free. by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you walk with them. You go with them. And those addictions and those things that have strapped themselves, in the name of Jesus, I pray that they be broken today. Lord, for those who have financial situations that seem to be pressing in on them, God, we look up to the one who has all abundance. Oh, Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Lord, you're the one who will provide. You'll make a way. Lord, for those who spiritually just been weighed down by things and their children maybe don't know the Lord, or, Lord, just the things that come in life. And God, I pray right now that we will get our hope in you. Lord, help us to not forget. Help us not forget how powerful you are. Lord, last week when we talked about how great you are, Lord, you're also the God of power. And you use it on behalf of your children so you'll get glory. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name. And the people say, amen. Would you stand this morning? I know we prayed earlier, but I want you to know every service, I want this to be open. There's a thing that happens at the altar that I don't know can happen anywhere else. But it's where we come and we lay our lives and say, God, I'm dying to it. And then we get up and we move on in our lives and we become a living sacrifice. Folks, I want you to know, this altar is here every week. People will come, they'll pray with you, they'll believe with you. Because I want God to touch your life. Folks, I don't have any power. But the one I'm pointing you to has all power. Folks, I could pray with you. I could lay hands on you. I could believe with you. I could pray in faith. But there's nothing like what happens when you touch the throne of heaven. So children of God, when we walk out of this place, we have crossed over. Just don't forget it. Don't forget it. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about the statement will be, is anything too hard for the Lord? I want you to know nothing's impossible with God. Next week, I'm going to talk about Abraham and Sarah and the promise of a child. He fulfills his promises.